Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Welcome to the U Up podcast. Hi, guys. Happy Wednesday to you. I'm here downstairs in my parents' house because it's so fucking hot everywhere in this goddamn... It's so validating for me, can I tell you, to have someone visit and validate that this house is hot as fuck. Andrew Collin, can you attest?
I mean, they really... your dad really shit the bed without getting an air conditioning upstairs to save money for,
I didn't even know that story until he told it, that he wanted to save $10,000 or something.
Yeah. Well, how about save your family from being hot, EJ?
You should see in the winter too. If it's cold, guess what he says? Put on some wool. Whoever is like, I can't wait to wear wool. My dad loves wool. You should hear him. It's just all he wants to talk about is wool in the winter.
He'll go wool straight to skin.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He loves a wool, like, blanket, wool socks.
I'm like, I get wool my hair, I can't.
Christmas, like, I'm, you know, a Puritan. And that's, like, the fresh new fabric on the, my dad thinks it's.
Like, you're, like, in everything. Game of Thrones and you're protecting the wall.
Yep.
Just put some wool on it. Fucking wool is the worst feeling, though. It makes the worst sound.
Yeah. It's, and the sound of sheep screaming as they have a fucking knee on their head. Sorry for that imagery. Have you ever seen a sheep get sheeped?
Yeah.
It's bad.
I see.
They're not like, oh, this is such a little, it's not like the dog at the groomer. I mean, this is brutal. Their skin gets cut. I mean, it's not, it's horrific.
Yeah, the clippers aren't good.
The people doing it aren't kind to them. And I don't speak for all of it. Don't message me about your uncle who's in the wool industry and gives every sheep a gentle kiss as he's.
Which is probably worse.
Shearing it.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know.
He's fucking the sheep. And so the sheep is.
The worst part is a lot of times the clippers are the guy's clippers that he just used for his own genitals. And then he's like, oh,
yeah.
I'm tired of these. They're not working that well. So I'm going to use them on the sheep.
Yeah, that's bullshit. Do you use clippers on your genitals?
Yeah, my pubic hair right now, I look like a 10-year-old boy.
Why?
I don't know. I just shaved too short. I thought.
Did you bring clippers with you?
No.
Oh.
No, I'm good now. But for a little while, I was like.
You shaved too short.
Way too short.
And it just looked like bare.
Here's the thing. When you have a penis that isn't like gigantic, mm-hmm. but is like huge.
Yeah.
No, but it's like right. decent.
Yes.
You trim your pubes, your dick looks bigger.
Right.
But you could go too short. And then if your dick
is huge. Then you just look like a child's
yeah,
dick.
Yeah. Then you just look like a child dick. Mm-hmm. So there's like, there's that certain hair for a mediocre penis that you want.
Can I share with you
a picture of it?
No, a DM I got from a guy last night. And he was very upset because he has a small penis. And, oh, where is he? God damn it.
What about that serial killer?
Oh, yeah, here he is.
The Golden State serial killer.
Yeah, who? If you guys are watching, and let's just talk about really quickly. HBO, the documentary on HBO, I'll Be Gone in the Dark. I'm not kidding you. Girls, if you live alone and you don't have a doorman or some kind of security, don't fucking watch this show. I don't even know if I was picturing myself living in my apartment in New York, which I was supposed to be living in. Like right now with a doorman, and I brag a lot about this, but it's just like the coolest thing I could ever imagine for myself. It had an elevator as my door, like opening onto my apartment. And I was thinking about how I would be processing this show if I was living alone there. And I would still be scared because the guy could just trick the doorman and just grab a key and go up and kill. This show is so fucking frightening. I texted you. Our text exchange last night was so funny, Andrew.
4 a.m.
Okay, so let's just, what are your thoughts on the show? It's called I'll Be Gone in the Dark. It's on HBO now. It's
Patton Oswalt's.
Right. She has a name that I can't remember right
McNamara.
Now.
McNamara.
Yeah, Michelle McNamara. Wrote a book had a blog called, oh my God, I have like no information. I'm really sorry to be talking about this, but she had a murder blog for a really long time that people got hooked on long before, you know, there were all these murder podcasts. And she's just an incredible journalist, incredible writer, incredible investigator. And she did it all herself. And she would work with other people that she met on like the A&E Cold Case Files message board. I mean, it's fascinating. And she got into this killer called he's called original Night Stalker, Earons is what they call him. East Area Rapist, because it was in the east side of Sacramento. East Area Rapist, original Night Stalker. Earons is his name. It's like a very awkward name. And it's Patton Oswalt's wife, and he's throughout the documentary talking about her, and it's just so good. But this guy is so fucking creepy, dude. You didn't even see the first episode where he rapes the girl when she's playing piano.
Oh, Jesus.
It's so, because this is what the girl says, and it haunts me. And I'm, you guys, earmuffs if you can't handle scary stuff, because honestly,
no, people
this
love
is
the, this shit.
I know, but I, if I was a girl who was living alone, yeah, I would literally stop listening to me right now and just skip ahead a couple 30 seconds.
Or if you have a husband, he'll kill you too, though.
Yeah, that's the thing. As soon as he found it, because he was only killing single women, and then it got in the paper that women were bringing this upon themselves by being single. I mean, that this was the 70s when if you were raped, it was like your fault, and like the media would tell you it was your fault. I mean, it was a ridiculous time.
70 hours ago.
What?
That's what this
was. Yeah, I know. No kidding. Times are changing very fast, and thank God for it. But being raped in the 70s, they just didn't treat it like a real crime. They didn't even tell anyone about this guy until he had struck like 5 times. So like people weren't locking up knowing that there was one. He got 2 houses that were like 4 houses away from each other. Now, if you had a girl that you've heard was raped 4 houses down, wouldn't you be on alert?
Yes.
Yes. Well, they didn't even tell anyone, so that girl couldn't be on alert.
The only reason why I wouldn't be on alert, though, is like, is he really going to be dumb
enough? Is he
going to
be that close?
To, yeah.
Right. It's almost like when I don't know an example for it, but I think of things like that all the time where it's no way. Like, this plane isn't going to crash because
a plane crashed yesterday.
Yeah, yeah, yes. Yeah. Okay. So, or like if a flight is like flight 11 or 9/11, you're like, that's too crazy, because the flight 11, I think, was one of the ones that went into the World Trade. Whatever.
An ear on sounds like a great name for headphones.
Yeah, it does.
He took that away from us.
Oh, my God.
Fucking prick. With a little dick. Anyway, so go ahead. So the piano player.
Okay, no, so this is the scariest part of this guy, is this girl is 15 years old. This guy's, just get into this show, because there's so many details I want to talk about, and he's been talked about ad nauseum on like a million podcasts, but you got to see this documentary. He would plan these things. He would stalk and stalk for days, maybe weeks, and he would set up the crime scene before he even got there. So he would sneak into the house, plant ligatures, which are things to tie people up. He would plant shoelaces underneath the couch that he knew he was going to rape you on. So you'd be being raped on this couch, and then he would just reach down and have a fucking, like, it's like when my ex-boyfriend like had a whole system in his bed ready to tie me up, and I didn't know. And I'm like, what are you pulling out of nowhere? And it was like, holy shit, you plant, this was premeditated. It was hot then, but this guy was ready. But this girl's playing piano. And the way these rape survivors are so brave to share it, because they're like these older women now, and just hearing them talk about it, it's just like, it's so incredible to actually hear the story from the person who did it, because that's not often the case. This girl, and how many times does this happen to you, Andrew, and anyone listening? She said that she's alone in the house and she heard a noise, and she just thought,
that's a noise.
It's just a noise.
It's the house.
It's the house. Just like kind of exhaling, you know, settling into itself. And then, she kept playing the piano. I mean, this is out of a scene from a movie of like just playing a soft, creepy song. And then
she was playing her own soundtrack to her own death.
I know. She was playing like,
or Heart and Soul.
Oh, yeah. He gets in on the other side of it. She's like,
it's just the piano doing its thing.
I'm going to murder you. No, I won't. But I'm going to make you feel like you might die. That's the thing. He gets off on making people feel like they're going to die. And I'm sorry to make jokes about this. There's nothing funny about it, but
you have to make jokes about it.
It's just so
fucking dark.
Fucked up. So like last night, even you guys went to go get Chick-fil-A, you and my dad, and the dog like kind of rushed past the doorway because he was going from the window to the door to get you guys. And I just saw a flash and I just go, oh, that was the dog. And then I go, what? Like, it, now that first noise is making me think of everything. Like, I don't take that first noise for granted anymore because of that girl, but it's also ruining my life, because last night I was hearing this thumping noise at like 3 a.m. We both couldn't sleep because the house is so goddamn hot. You're in my sister's bedroom. I'm in my bedroom.
Dude.
And they're right next to each other. And I hear like a thumping, but I have my white noise machine on, so I don't
jerking off.
I've heard it before in this house. What were you jerking off?
No, I wasn't.
I haven't yet. Well, you can. I can tell you're horny because you just wanted to fuck this dish that's on the table, you said.
We'll take a picture of the dish and put it on.
What is sexual about this gigantic maple leaf?
It looks like a meaty vagina.
Leaf.
It looks like a meaty leaf.
Oh, yeah. It does look like a fucking spread out pussy lips.
Yeah, it does.
Whoa. Okay.
Either that or like a raptor's neck.
Oh, yeah. Not even a raptor, like the thing that killed Newman.
Yeah, that's a raptor.
That was the spitter.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was the spitter.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Okay, so this is what he texted me. So last night I go, are you awake? 2:43 a.m. Are you awake? There's a weird noise, thumping. He goes, I'm watching something on my phone. Oh, that might be me. Sorry. I said, okay, good. God, that show freaked me out. thanks, now I can sleep. And you go, but also I'm hogtied writing with my tongue. I really did think that. I was like, if I confront Andrew, what if the Golden State Killer is in there, who he's been caught, by the way, so that brings you some kind of redemption. But I was like, what if he's in there and he's writing texting from Andrew's phone? And I was like, I was actually going to look for like a way to know it was you. And that's how I knew it was you, because that was such a funny response. And I go, ha, 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 I hear plates rattling. Because in the documentary, he ties up the dude while he rapes the wife, and he puts plates on the guy's back. So if the plates, he hears the dishes clank at all, he will come murder him. It's so fucked up, you guys. And anyway, he goes, I go, ha, ha, I hear plates rattling. And he goes, yeah, that's my new shirt. I just pictured your new shirt has a bunch of goddamn plates.
It made me laugh really hard.
I was LOLing for reals, dude. That made me laugh so hard. I screenshotted it and like edited it so it can fit in a hole. You know when you edit a text conversation and take out pieces that are you don't need, so you can post it?
I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, you can do that. So anyway, the documentary is fucking creepy.
When you live in the city, it's weird because you could get stabbed on the train any day, or walking, you could get mugged. So you don't, the idea of a serial killer isn't your top threat. So you don't even think about a serial killer in New York City. You're like, ah, you know what I mean? But when you're out here in the woods, huh?
I do. As a woman, I do.
Yeah, I guess that's.
I honestly do. I would go home at night and I would kind of like run in my building. I would go, like I would get in my building, and I have like a safe building, but I would get in and I was so scared that when I walked up the first flight, there's only one flight of stairs in the place I was living last time. I would walk up that first flight, and then I would do the key, and then I would get in as quick as possible because that's when they can get you. They can come. I would search. They can hide around a corner, and right when you open the door, they bum rush you and push you in, and then they rape you. And they and I didn't have plates.
I figure I live in such a shithole of an apartment.
Yeah.
They would just come in and be like, you know, your life is bad enough.
Yeah, I don't need it. Yeah, paper plates on someone isn't going to make that much noise.
Yeah, you have no clean dishes for me to use.
Before we get any further on the pod, I just want to say thank you to everyone who wrote to me about yesterday's pod, where I revealed that my jealousy can sometimes make me a bully and try to bring down people with me. Someone sent me a really fascinating study about cognitive dissonance and sense of humor and why some people have different kinds of sense of humor. It was so good, Andrew. I know you just were tuning out, but I thought you were.
Never. Cognitive dissonance.
I think you can tune out sometimes.
I've never tuned out in my life.
Tune in Tokyo.
Toony.
Okay, so I was reading this thing, and it's like every type of humor that you – like there are four types of humor, and you're definitely a different type of humor than I am. You're like a want to make people laugh and entertain – like you're making jokes to like make other people at ease and kind of get people to laugh and like bring the room to life. Whereas I make jokes to self-deprecate and bring myself down.
I think I do that a ton.
You do that. You do a mixture of a couple.
Yeah.
But it was just an interesting thing. And there was one, the kind of humor I do is really bad for you and your self-esteem. Like the kind that's shitting on yourself and viewing the world through a negative lens is like, I found out it's like bad for you. So maybe I have to stop doing that. Anyway, thank you for all those things that you guys wrote to me. A lot of people wrote that they
there's something behind that where it's like, when we do self-deprecating, we've like told ourselves a lie this whole time that actually it's because we're so strong that we can handle it, and we're making fun of ourselves. So, you know what I mean? Like, we're doing, and also it's like, I'm doing it so other people can feel okay with the same problems.
Right.
But really, you just might be sad. And
exactly. It is that because I know that there are people out there that have the same issues I have that I hate myself for. And I'm like, oh, if they think I have this perfect life, it'll bring them peace to know that I struggle with it. But you're also right that it's just self-loathing and you want to release some of it and it's not good for you. Speaking of that, this is the email I got, or the message I got last night from the dick guy. And by the way,
Euron's had a little dick.
Yes. It was really funny. My ex co-host, Sarah Schaefer, just wrote a tweet about like, I think it was her. She wrote a tweet like, I'm watching this documentary and are we ever going to find out how tiny his dick is? Like, that's what she's waiting for. Is like, can we get the exact measurements? Cause that's interesting. But finding out Jeff Epstein's dick was the shape of an egg was so interesting.
Well,
Harvey Weinstein's like a mangled little nub.
I know. It's like being a serial killer is like if you drive a big truck. Like, oh, he's a serial killer, must have a small dick.
Oh, that's great.
It's like, I'm sure there's serial killers with big dicks too. You know what I mean? Like, or rapists with big dicks too. But I'm sure. Yeah. Like,
a disgusting man needs to force himself on people a ton.
Yeah. But, well, that's not always the case. And I want to talk about this guy who wrote me, and I want to give advice to men who have small penises and maybe micro penises. Listen, listen up. Don't tune out. Well, that's the first thing. But truly, okay, so this guy wrote me, and I'm not going to say who it was. He said, I just want to say I love your stand-up so much, and I love your appearances on Conan. The way you use your humor to deal with your insecurities is outstanding. And that's just saying, like, is it dealing with my insecurities, or is it just hating myself because I can't take it anymore?
Mixture.
He said, I wish guys could be more like that. I'm 32. I've been battling with depression and anxiety for 15 years. A lot of the root of my insecurities stem from women and how I feel about myself. I've had women use me, cheat on me, and cut me down because of the size of my penis. They make me feel worthless, like I'll never be worthy of love. They hit me with an aura of disappointment, like I have control over the size of my penis. The sad part of it is that I'm always honest about my size, yet they act like I sold them a lemon. It's been to the point where I've attempted suicide multiple times. I just wanted to say that your stand-up has helped me in some ways of owning my insecurities, which is so sad. And like,
it's cool Bob Saget would say that.
And listen, he writes me sometimes late at night and just really opens up.
That's cool, Bob.
Andrew,
I'm sorry.
I told you not to reveal.
He's tall. I get it. If you're tall and you have a small dick, it's worse.
Guess what's not full?
His pants.
Yeah.
Improv.
I mean, that wasn't so bad.
No, it was good.
Okay. Well, we were just talking in the car about how I'm not good at improv, and so now Andrew's trying.
No, you say you're not good. I always counter with you're good at things.
Oh yeah. Okay. So I was saying I wasn't good. I didn't mean to say it. Put that on you.
Wait. So.
So can I tell you what I wrote back?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Fuck that. I'm so sorry that you feel that way about yourself. Truly, truly know that. You would never want to be with a woman who wouldn't want to be with you because of your size. That kind of woman isn't right for you. I'll never be with a guy who loves a fat ass, and that's okay. Not all men need one. Not all women need a big dick. Also, there are dildos. Incorporate those into the bedroom if you want. They are better than real dicks anyway because you can control them better. Good luck. Please don't ever kill yourself. And he said, thank you. I've given up on suicide simply because no one would miss me and most people would expect it. Oh, I know. It. So now...
Bob.
I know. Stamos has got to talk to him. I think that... Joey needs to get that fucking chipmunk character and have a lighthearted discussion about self-love.
Dude, that's the saddest sentence I've ever heard
now,
in my life, man.
So now I'm just waiting for my next life to happen. Maybe the universe will give me an adequately sized penis. But I think the majority of women truly believe that a perfection of man is in his dick and that women shouldn't have to settle for anything less than perfect. There's nothing more infinitely powerful than the female orgasm. In the end, I guess I don't have the willpower to go through another humiliation like I've been through, but thank you for replying and thank you for the kind words. Just know that if perfection did exist, you'd be it because you're a triple threat, hilarious, intelligent, and a huge dick. No, he said breathtakingly beautiful, but that's very nice. I didn't mean to read that last part. It just kind of snuck up on me. I feel very uncomfortable by it, but I just want to say, I mean, you're obsessed with dick size, right?
I mean, I used to be.
Like a year ago, I feel like you talked about it more than you do now.
I think the more you fuck, the more you realize it's not that big of a deal. Also, my dick, I measured it the other day, and it's not nearly as small as...
Well, that's not helping this guy, Andrew.
Oh. I mean, my dick's way huge, bro. Like, now I don't even know what to do.
Yeah,
my dick's so big.
I don't relate to this guy at all. Next question.
Okay, I won't put it on my dick. But, like, I'm just saying, like, a lot of it has to do with confidence. Like, I used a cock ring when I had sex, and the girl loved it. It's just, like... being confident in the bedroom, I don't know if it's like, I think what happens is a girl will cheat on you and then you'll go, oh, it's probably my small dick.
Right.
But it could, there's a million other things.
Well, women can be like really mean about dicks.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. You guys send dick pics around like all the time.
We don't send dick pics, but we talk about dicks a lot. And I, you know, it's always nice.
I've been at a table where you guys draw.
Well, that's different than, we're not sending dick pics. We're drawing them on a table with chalk. Yeah.
You outline dicks like they're dead bodies.
I just have to say, though, and let me just really speak from the heart here, and I hope people hear me. I have had better orgasms and better sex when my ex-boyfriend with a average-sized penis would use toys on me instead of his dick. Yes, his warm dick felt good, but toys felt better. And so I know that I could be with a woman because I don't need a dick on a guy. I don't need it. Yes, it is a nice bonus, but it is not everything. And I want everyone with a small dick to know that. And I know you think that you're unlovable. No one will ever love you. It's just not true.
I get it. So, I felt that way a lot when I was younger.
Yeah.
But now when I measured it, and it's huge.
Right. Okay. So I just want to read some of your kuhs. Now, if you don't know, on Friday's episode, I introduced you guys to the idea of kuh, which is when someone is just doing something absurd and like over the top and kind of like they just think they're cool and they're trying to get attention and they want to look hot or they want to be accepted. And so they do something that they wouldn't do if no one was watching. I think that could be the, that could be the definition of kuh, is doing something over the top that you wouldn't do if no one was watching because you want to be so desperately liked. And listen, literally, I've been kuh before.
I just did it by saying I had a big dick.
No, that wasn't kuh. That really wasn't kuh. Okay.
Okay.
I'm just being honest with you. Okay, here's some kuhs. People who back into parking spots are kuh.
Yeah.
Yes, that is kuh because it just takes more effort. Everyone has to look at you and you often like make really herky jerky moves and you want to like, it is usually someone peels out when they do that.
Yeah. And it's usually
peeling out is
a big truck. It's usually a truck guy.
Yes.
They would argue that it's easier than to get out or I don't know, or they could fit into tighter spaces because they back up. But that being said, it's definitely kuh.
Okay. Thank you, Paige Long, for that kuh. Next up, Kimberly Chan sends me perfect example of a douche trying to be kuh. Dude, I love that you guys know kuh. And I want you to send me video of you yelling kuh about something. Like take a picture of something that's kuh and then say kuh to it with peace sign and be like kuh. Okay, and send that to me. Yesterday I'm driving home and some tool in an antique truck with a huge American flag flapping in the wind starts doing I couldn't stop laughing when I read this. Doing donuts in the middle of a busy intersection. He did them repeatedly and created a smoke show from burning his tires. And that's the kuhest thing I've ever heard. Next up, skateboarders who come straight at you and then swerve at the last second.
Fuck those guys.
And that is from, oh fuck, I didn't get your name. I'm sorry, on the screenshot, I didn't get your name. And then one last one. This is from, no, that one's not as good. That one's not as good. Oh God. Hold on one second. I got to get one more kuh. Well, let's just leave it at that. There's been some others, but
I hate the skateboard one because
why?
If you, stick up for yourself, you just look like you can't win.
Yes.
Because if you're like, go fuck yourself, dude, you almost hit me. And it's like, you're a little bitch. You think I was going to hit you? Like you can't.
You look like a Karen freaking out about.
Yeah, but it's like, no, it's on you, dick.
Right. Final kuh.
Those are the kuh things, though, where you can't argue. You can't argue them without.
Yes. Kuh is like, there's a lot of things that are kuh. Yeah. But that could be maybe a defining characteristic of kuh. The song.
A backflip.
TikTok by Kesha. Is this, I mean, whoever said this to me, Catherine, you're genius. I mean, this is one of the best ones yet. TikTok by Kesha. Wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy. I got my, like, I'm going to.
Brushing my teeth with a bottle of Jack.
I mean, kuh. And then also, she adds to the fact that Kesha spelling her name with a dollar sign is so, say it with me now.
Kuh. Should we spell kuh with a K?
No, it's C-O-apostrophe-U-H-L, and anyone who knows it knows it. All right, thank you for those kuhs. I really appreciate it. One extra thing I wanted to talk about before we wrap up here. These shows have been so fun with you, Andrew. We have two more days together doing the shows. I wanted to talk about speed dating last night. Now, I did speed date last night after Andrew Collin did his own speed date. You can follow him at Andrew T. Collin. He is going to be speed dating on Wednesday. Which is tonight, you guys. Yeah, this podcast goes out tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
So Wednesday at 11 p.m. Eastern, he goes live on his Instagram and he speed dates. I'll be watching and helping him date and coming up with questions and follow-up questions. It's so much fun to watch. Last night you had a fuck ton of people watching.
Yeah.
It's a fun chat room. Like, it's just a good activity to do. I would set your alarm on your phone now, like, for 5 minutes before 11 o'clock Eastern and just remind yourself to get on and go on there. But it's so much fun. And then I speed dated after him last night at the 12 o'clock hour and for the first time, and what a journey it was. I nearly cried on Instagram Live, which is happening a lot on Instagram Live. I almost cry because people can be so mean. And but I learned that I'm not good at dating. I don't like doing something that I'm not like in control. And dating, you can't be in control. You have to like let the guy lead. And I feel the need to be funny constantly. And like, I'm trying, do you think about the audience at all when you're dating, or you just, you don't?
No.
Really?
I don't. I want to,
because that's all I'm thinking about.
Only if they're writing shitty comments do I think.
Right, but
if it's positive in there, then I only think that people aren't.
But that's what I'm trying to avoid, is people going, this is boring.
Yeah.
I'm leaving.
But you're going to get
next
that.
Next date.
You're going to get that. And then what happens is you go, wow, this John Jackass 69 XXX said he's bored. And then everyone goes, we're not bored. We love you.
Yeah.
And you don't hear that.
I will say, today people have written to me, because I went on like 6 dates last night. The first one was with a bisexual guy who really admitted a lot about being bisexual. It was very fascinating. And like, shout out to Colin. I love you so much. It was more of a friend vibe, though. Then I went out with a guy named Evan, who I had previously kind of attacked on my Instagram live because he said some shitty comment. And it wasn't even shitty. He was the sweetest man. But I went live with him. He was nice, too, but a little bit too young and sweaty. No offense. You had just gotten done with a run. And then third was a guy, Trevor, from The Bachelor. Trevor Holmes. You can look him up. And he didn't know I was doing a dating show. I was so excited because I've had a crush on this guy for a while, or just like thought he was hot, you know? And he was on it. And then I was like, so why do you want to date me? Because Andrew's trying to get me to ask, like, why do you want to go on a date with me? Why do you like me? Like, trying to get a little more romantic. Because Andrew's like, you know, passenger, backseat driving, which was very helpful, because I'll get to it in a second. So then Trevor is like, oh, I didn't know this was dating. And I was like, oh. And it just felt, when I get rejected by a guy like that, and it's not a rejection, but when I get my hopes up, like, oh my God, this guy that is cute likes me, and then he's like, oh my God, no, that's not what it was. It's so embarrassing to me, and I feel like that's why I almost cried, is like I got embarrassed in front of like so many people, because I was excited and then it was like not what I thought it was.
Here's the thing, though. I don't know, he responded kind of weird when you asked him that, but I also think like then it just like moved on. Like, you didn't get like a definitive answer from him.
Because I didn't want one. Because I know, when I've done that before, it's hurt my feelings. Because you find out, no, at least you leaving it ambiguous, it doesn't completely embarrass you. But if I would have been like, would you want to date me? And he goes, I don't see it like that. I would have started crying live. I can't have that kind of rejection. It's just too embarrassing. So that's why I moved on. Then I went out on a date with the guy down the street who, Andrew and I actually ran into him when we were walking the dogs last night, Grant, down the street. He's the neighbor boy that I met. And he was very lovely and nice, and he got yelled at by his mom because he was talking too loud. And then eventually, then I went on a couple more dates, and people were just being like, you're just interviewing people. This is not dating. And I was like, what the fuck is dating? I don't know. And then you intervened, and what did you say?
I said, you need to not talk so much. Let it sit. You don't, there's beauty in the silence. People like that. They don't need to be like so entertained. They're already entertained by the minutia of things.
But here's my question. What if I know right away, like I'm not attracted to this person and I can't do like a flirty vibe and I can't make it a date? How do you make that a date? If you don't like them.
Just get out in 3 minutes. You got to make the dates 3 minutes. A lot of times you also stayed on for an extra like 5 minutes once you realize it was just an interview.
Oh, right. Okay.
You got to be willing to just be like, okay, this is great. It was so nice talking to you. You're awesome.
Right. Okay. Friday night, I'm going to speed date again. Set your calendars. I'm going to do it at, let me do it at 10 p.m. Eastern on Friday. I'm going to set it right now. 10 p.m. Eastern this Friday.
Thursday.
Why?
Because Friday night people are actually doing things right now. And like I did it on Friday, and like I'd have a lot of like group chat because like people will have people over because it's Friday night.
Yeah.
So you might end up having like 3 dudes in one room or like.
Oh, right.
I might be wrong. But that's what happened with me.
Okay, stay tuned. It's either going to be Thursday or Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern. So we'll find out. But I'll consider that. Yeah, I want to do it again because I think I do need to practice dating, because the last date I went on, I actually got into an energy of like, it's a date. And people wrote to me and were like, that was the best one. I was like, it was so boring. We were talking about like what Beatles song we liked. It was so boring, I thought. But that's what people want.
To other people.
But that's what I realized, that show Dating Around, which so many of you have written me about. Have you watched it yet, Andrew?
I watched the first episode in New Orleans.
Did you watch the second episode?
I haven't watched the second.
Okay, so we'll go watch it. We'll watch it tonight. Oh, I wish I could. This is in the past, so you guys don't know. I watched it last night with Andrew. The second episode of Dating Around on the second season. So many of you have written to me about it because that is the one that I really recommend to everyone. But you got to see the first episode first just to like get a sense of what the show is. And then the second episode, you just love this Ben guy. At first you hate him and then you love him. And then it's just a great episode of TV. So many of you have written to me about it, and I think you'll love it. And we'll watch it tonight and get back to you about it tomorrow. Thank you for listening to the podcast, Andrew. Any final thoughts about...
I have a new episode of Puddles out. Came out yesterday with Raina Greenberg. Or no, today it came out. Please go listen.
Today.
It's my podcast, Puddles.
I know, Puddles. It's Wednesday on this podcast, though.
Oh, so it was yesterday.
It comes out Monday, right?
Yeah.
It comes out Tuesday or Monday?
It comes out Tuesday.
Oh, okay. So it came out yesterday. Yes. Yeah. I don't know.
So go check it out. And
what do you want to go do?
What, today?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's 5:55.
Aren't we going paddleboarding tomorrow?
Yeah, we're going to go tomorrow night.
All right, so then we'll do that. I'll probably just go work out. I'll go do this Bully Juice workout.
Yeah.
Bully Juice is a guy on YouTube. He's this giant badass dude who does just full body workouts so you feel manly while doing them, even though you're doing a bunch of like bitch ass workouts.
Yeah.
It's like leg kicks and stuff and like calisthenics, but he has tattoos. So you're like, yeah, I'm fucking tough. And
I said you like his name because.
Yeah, he bullies Jews. Yeah, I could say that because I'm a bully. That's like your joke.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Say it with me now. Squirt, squirt. Yeah. Wet spot.
Wet spot.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.